Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house on this fifth Sunday of Eastertide. This is a day that we're also privileged to honor our graduates that are affiliated with our membership here at Berry. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row. And if this is your first time visiting Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. And we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking hands. Please do let us know this is your first visit, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave for the day. Please read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the sign-up for summer camps at Tall Oaks, the annual church picnic, which has been scheduled for June 2nd, Vacation Bible School, which is the second week in July, as well as other activities in our fellowship here at Berry. Also, our director of music, Andrew Schmidt, and our organist, Lenora Rimmert, are performing together in another theater production at the Chestnut Fine Arts Center in Olathe, Kansas. Lenora, of course, is on the keyboard, and Andrew is the lead actor in the production of Do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up? Wow, I made it to that two services in a row without stuttering. Good deal. So if you're ever going to go and try to see one of their shows, this will be the one to see. It's a hilarious musical comedy about growing up in Catholic school. Please talk with Gail Gentry if you'd like to attend with a group from the church. Performances run through June 23rd. I have a number to call for tickets or a website. If you'd like that information, please call the church office or see me after church. There's also a new sign-up sheet on the back table to drive the Jacobo kids to and from school in Michelle's absence, as she'll be recovering. She's recovering currently from her marathon surgery just a few days ago. This is going to be the last week for a while because the kids are going to be out of school until mid-June, so we drivers will get a little break for the next several weeks. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Hey, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done. Let us sing hymn number 284, stanzas 1 and 4.
Here in this place the new light is streaming, shadows of doubt are vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken, gather us in our spirits in flame. Call to us now and we shall awaken, we shall arise at the sound of our name. Not just in buildings small and confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place the new light is shining, now is God present and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever, gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bone.
Thank you to our acolyte, Annalise Jacobo, this morning for bringing the Christ, light of Christ, to the front of our sanctuary. May we bow in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we gather here in your house this morning, we feel inspiration as we recognize our graduates. We feel joy as we reflect on their accomplishments and excitement as we ponder what you have in store for them as they journey onward in colleges and careers. We also acknowledge that we may feel sadness or anxiety as our time in this life seems to pass ever so quickly. So we pause for a few moments and say, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of witnessing the accomplishments of our children and our brothers and sisters here within our church family. And we pray that in some way we might feel inspired and motivated to help make the world around us a place that is pleasing to you, O Creator God, and brings you full glory as we respond to your calling. Merciful God, come now that your Holy Spirit may be present within each of us during our time of worship and as we journey from this place into the world. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship today. Jumped the gun just a little bit there. About this time every year, we take a few minutes during our worship service to recognize some very special people from among our fold. This morning, it's my privilege to share the graduations of 6 young men and women. We'd like to invite them or their family members to come forward as I call their names. Karis Kaylin Clark, granddaughter of Susan Cox. Thea Rianne Timmons, granddaughter of Phil and Joy Myers, and daughter of Travis and Melissa Timmons. Melissa, come on up. Taryn Clark, daughter of Paul and Tasha Clark, granddaughter of Ken and Sarah Lynn McFarland, niece of Melanie Doak, and great-niece of Mary Davis. Lots of folks here on her behalf. Melanie, would you like to come forward, and Sarah Lynn? Come on, you're already in front of the church. It's okay. Noah Egret, son of David and Robin Egret. Is Noah here today? Okay, running late. We'll wait. No. Yeah. Aaron Alvarado, son of Debbie Alvarado. And Tyler Updegrove, grandson of Alan and Carolyn Phipps. So we'll go back to the beginning. Karis, Kaylin Clark, will graduate the first week of June from Mountain View High School in Vancouver, Washington. She will then graduate several weeks later from Clark College with an associate's degree. So she's been working ahead just a little bit. She's going to be attending Minneapolis College of Art and Design, studying computer animation. Thea Renee Timmons is a graduate of Oak Park High School. She has received a four-year scholarship to Rockhurst University in Kansas City, where she'll study for a bachelor's degree as a medical laboratory scientist. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here today due to a phlebotomy certification class this weekend. So it's true that when you're in a healthcare profession, there are no days off. Taryn Clark will graduate from Staley High School on, actually she did graduate from Staley High School already. She'll attend the University of Kansas on a KU Achievement Scholarship. She's got quite an impressive set of accomplishments here in both athletics and music. Her family is very proud of her and can't wait to see what kind of great things she'll do next. Noah Ekrit will graduate from Truman High School this coming weekend. Noah plans to attend a trade school to further his knowledge and skills, specializing in CNC and manual machining. Aaron Alvarado is graduating, or just did graduate, from the University of Kansas Medical School. He's on his way to Tulsa in June to do his residency at the University of Oklahoma under the General Surgery Program. And Tyler Updegrove, grandson of Alan and Carolyn Phipps, graduated from Northwest Missouri State University in Maryville this past month. He'll be subbing until later on this school year at the Liberty North High School, and then he'll be teaching freshman English at Liberty North in the fall. So let's give our graduates a round of applause. And the CWF has a little presentation. Thank you. And with that, will the kids come forward, please?
La 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 Many thanks to our children and Andrew and Lenora. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise God.
Noah Ikrit is here now. Noah, he's here.
We'll go ahead. Okay. As we have a word of prayer today, we certainly a number of people for us to remember. First of all, Carrie's not with us because she's been kind of dealing with some respiratory infection kind of stuff. And so she's getting better, but thought it'd be best if she stayed home today. Jim has already mentioned about Michelle Jacobo. She did make it through that surgery on Tuesday. We praise God for that. The doctors are saying that they feel that she is now cancer-free, which is certainly a good step. A lot of adjustments and a lot of issues to deal with. She'll probably be in the hospital for a couple of weeks to continue this recovery, though. What we've noticed, though, is every day she's been really quite alert, and I think she is most definitely determined to fight this and to continue to move forward. She's out of intensive care as of yesterday, so again, all of those are good, steady, progressive signs. So please keep the Jacobo family and Michelle in your prayers. We want to lift up that Grace Kimmerling is over at the McCrite Plaza Rehabilitation Center as of this weekend, be there for a few days. Harry Booth continues to recover from his heart valve replacement surgery. Bryce Stamen was actually here during the early service, first Sunday since he had that knee replacement, and he's doing much better. We also continue to remember Betty Barnes and Arlita White's sister Mary. We lift up Val Stringer. We're delighted you're here, Val, as we also lift up your brother, Matt Mattson, in our prayers. And Dave and Rita Dyer have a dear friend named Lauren, whose daughter Nora is on that liver transplant list. Again, an infant just about 8-9 months of age. So please remember them in prayer, too. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Loving and gracious God, we give thanks for the privilege to offer our worship and praise to your name this Lord's Day. For as the author of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And as we share this time of worship with our fellow believers in faith, and as we dwell upon your word and seek your Holy Spirit's guidance, we give thanks for the reassurance that fills our minds with confidence and gives our hearts comfort. For the text of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 reminds us, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We know, O God, that experiences in life can throw us into the depths of uncertainty and at times despair, for we live in a fallible world that is far from the perfection and closeness to you that was designed at the beginning of time. Yet during this season we call Eastertide, between Easter and Pentecost, we remember once again that your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ dwelt among us, that we can be reassured that in Christ we are victorious over despair, sin, and even death. And as each of us step forward into the task of this new week, and as we especially celebrate the accomplishments of the graduates among us, may we all rejoice in the truth that your Spirit dwells among us to give us confidence, peace, and assurance. As a community of faith, we offer this prayer in thanksgiving as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Mary Daniels will be reading our scripture this morning on Elizabeth's behalf. Thank you, Mary.
Our scripture is from John 11, 1 through 16, and it's in your pew Bible on page 980 and 981. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sister sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But Jesus heard it and he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is a God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk in the night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. Thomas, who called the twins, said to the fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Taylor Caldwell, a famous author in the 50s and 60s, pleaded with her loving husband shortly before his death. If there is life on the other side, I beg you, please send me a sign. Let me know you are with me. The morning after her husband's death, Taylor Caldwell stepped into her garden, seeking solace from nature, as she often did. Oh, darling, she cried out to her husband, if you would only send me a sign that you are with me, I could try to go on. My pain is so wrenching, and my grief so strong, I fear I cannot survive otherwise. Just then, Taylor Caldwell approached a section of her garden that had always been troublesome due to the poor soil, and there in the middle stood a rosemary bush that had not been productive in 30 years. And yet, to her astonishment, that rosemary bush was inexplicably in full, radiant bloom. Staring in shock and awe at the bush, Taylor Caldwell stood motionless for a long time, absorbing the message. Thank you, she whispered. Thank you. I will be able to go on now that I know you are with me. She had clearly been given the sign she was seeking, she told interviewers later. You see, rosemary means remembrance. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and a cup and said, do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And after his resurrection, he dwelt among his followers for 40 days, that they, like us today, may fully remember Christ's victory over sin and death, and may remember the glory of the great hope that we all have in Christ Jesus. Our communion hymn this morning is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's hymn number 195, as we sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, for I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, this cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we gather at your table this morning with thankful hearts, thankful for this congregation, its members, our friends and guests, but we're especially thankful for Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross for us. As we receive these emblems, let's be reminded of that sacrifice and the hope that the promise that he gives us of life eternal. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. asked to speak to the sixth grade class at an East Harlem school that had a high dropout rate, Eugene Lang, a self-made millionaire, wondered what he could say to inspire. One thing about those little bitty crackers, that's just not enough for me to drink and still talk. I think that's why in the Catholic Church, the priest drinks the whole cup. Anyway, I just always have trouble catching that little piece of bread in my throat, especially when my allergies are bothering me, but pardon me. Anyway, a self-made millionaire wondered what he could say to inspire the 59 students to stay in school. He wondered how he could get them to even look at him. Scrapping his notes, he decided to speak from his heart. "Stay in school," he admonished, "and I'll pay for your college tuition for every one of you." For the first time, those children had hope. As one student said, "I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling." And because of the bold generosity of Eugene Lang, about 90% of that class graduated from high school and went on. As we offer a word of prayer and receive our tithes and offerings, we too strive to make an incrementally important and bold step for the benefit of others. Gail leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of this day. It's wonderful to be here among our friends and family. It's wonderful to be in your presence. We are thankful for all that you have given to us, and at this time, we gladly give back a portion so it will help others. Bless the gift and the givers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering will be used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Noah, we see that you made it as well. We congratulate you on your graduation from Truman. God bless you, Noah, as you journey forward. You've got quite a fan base there but the shirts. But I noticed that your shirts all say Robin on the back. So that's all for Robin's sake as well. But we always appreciate everyone in the Egret family. God bless you all. And best wishes to you, Noah. Noah had an outing yesterday, but it was too much of an outing for the day yesterday, as even while we were trying to stand in the shelter. Of course, the rain was going horizontal, so we were all still getting wet. So they retreated to the church fellowship hall. I think that worked a lot better for them. Praise God. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we do give thanks for the privilege to be in your house and to understand your great grace for all of us. It is indeed astounding. Even as we may fumble in our attempts to be faithful to your cause, your great love still abounds for us, as it did for Thomas. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. You know, we're really moving through these apostles, are we not? We talked, first of all, about the first four that were that inner circle of Jesus' followers, fishermen, Andrew and his brother, Simon Peter, then James and John, a group of four. They were essentially that main inner circle closest to Jesus. Now we've been working on this second group of four, the fisherman Philip and his friend and fellow fisherman Nathanael. And then we talked about, before Mother's Day, the tax collector Matthew. And today we talk about Thomas the twin. Now, many of us know Thomas by calling him who? Doubting Thomas. And it's in reference to that text of John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, where he had assembled with the other apostles, and they had been claiming they had seen the risen Christ, and yet he had missed that opportunity. And so here in this second gathering of them, Thomas says to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." But as we explore this story of the resurrection of Lazarus, and we don't necessarily get into that actual event today, we get into the forefront of it today. What we do discover here in this story is that although Thomas possessed a rather pessimistic attitude, he was always looking for the worst in things. Always wondering, you know, maybe that's not going to work out. You know, and you know some folks like that. You might even be one of them, right? Sometimes it seems that if you're pessimistic, then you can be more surprised when things go well, right? I think sometimes pessimism is something that's learned. It's a learned behavior. If you grow up in an environment where pessimism reigns, it's easy for that to kind of spill over into your own perception of how life is. That's kind of the way Thomas was. But let's set the stage here for what's taking place for Thomas. John chapter 10, verse 22. The text tells us that it was winter and the festival of dedication of the temple was being celebrated in Jerusalem. Well, what's the festival of dedication? It was an eight-day-long event that celebrated by Jewish people either in late November or in December. And Jewish people today have a name for it. You've probably heard of it even while you're thinking about Christmas things. What's it called? Hanukkah. Or a festival of lights. Well, what's the event all about? It remembers a rather bleak time in Jewish history between the Old and New Testaments, in which the temple had been defiled by the Seleucid king Antiochus Epiphanes, and the Jewish people were forced to abandon their sacrifices to God and were forced to adopt pagan rituals. In the midst of this defilement of the temple in Jerusalem, however, there was a group of freedom fighters among the Jewish people who rose up and became known as the Maccabees. They revolted and they overthrew the Seleucids, and they were able to recapture the temple, and so they wanted to have a rededication of the temple in Jerusalem for God. And of course, that event is what is now called Hanukkah. Okay? Well, again, think in terms of November, December. This event had taken place. So Jesus is with his disciples in Jerusalem, and the story for today starts with Jesus being in the temple sharing his message. The problem, however, as time went on, many of the people thought, no, Jesus isn't the right guy. And so they started, you know, arguing with him and getting all upset about what he had said. And as a consequence, the text tells us here in John's gospel that many of the people were so disturbed about Jesus' message that they not only were deciding to oppose Jesus, but they were thinking about stoning him to death. So that leads us to John 10, verse 40. Jesus then went back across the Jordan River, which meant to the north and east, and on the other side of the Jordan, he went to an area where John the Baptist had been preaching prior. And the text tells us in verse 41 that many people came to Jesus. Verse 42 says that many people there believed in him. So you see, Jesus and his disciples, as long as they stayed away from Jerusalem, they were very successful in ministry because people were more receptive to Jesus' message. And of course, the disciples thought, "Hoo-wee, boy, aren't we glad to be out of the Badlands, you know, here. I mean, it's so terrible being in Jerusalem and being under all that pressure and wondering what's going to happen to Jesus, because whatever's going to happen to him is going to happen to what? Or to who? To us as well." They liked being over there in that area. Yet there came a message from Martha, Mary, and Bethany. Bethany's a little town just out the outskirts, kind of like a suburb of Jerusalem. Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus were people with whom Jesus found like a home life, the best example of home life he could have. Those three just were so nurturing and caring to Jesus. He could just kind of put his feet up on the coffee table and watch TV and eat popcorn and just enjoy himself. You know, because you remember Jesus said of himself in Matthew chapter 8, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has what? No place to lay his head." And of course, with Martha sending that message, surely she would be thinking, okay, now that Jesus has got the word, surely he's going to come back and he's going to help out Lazarus. But as the story goes here in this portion of the gospel, of course, you probably know what happens is Jesus, he just holds back. He waits. He stays where he is on that eastern side of the Jordan River. And a few more days go by, and of course, Lazarus dies. Now, Jesus knew what this was all about. It was to bring glory to God because we know that Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, right? And prove that he does have the power of the resurrection, right? Lazarus will be the third person that Jesus raises to life that we know of in Scripture. But there comes that moment in John chapter 11, verse 7, where Jesus finally says, "Let's go back to Judea." And yet his disciples, in fear of Jesus' life and certainly their own, reply, "Teacher, just a short time ago, the people were wanting to stone you, and you're planning to go back? Things are going good here. Let's just stay. What do you mean you want to go back?" And that's like going into from the frying pan into the fire, right? No, they don't want to go. Jesus says, "We're going." And what you see in the next few verses is this kind of a argument that the disciples are having with Jesus. I can't imagine doing that. Could you imagine arguing with Jesus? Boy, I think I'd have kept my mouth shut and said, "Yes, sir, whatever you want." But you see this kind of stuff going on where he's lifting up the spiritual, and yet they're still thinking in terms of that pragmatic, practical stuff, what's going on here on earth and all the trouble they're going to be having. They don't want to go. until finally Jesus cuts to the chase. And in verse 14, 15, he says, Lazarus is dead, but for your sake I am glad that I was not with him so that you will believe. In other words, when we do go back, I'm going to raise him from the dead, and that's going to help you know that I am the resurrection and the life. And it is in that next verse that we see that unexpected measure of emboldened courage bubbling up in one of the disciples. And who is that? Thomas. Oh, doubting Thomas, as we call him. He says, well, let's go along with him, with the teacher, so that we may die with him. Again, you see the pessimism there. You know, if we go back, it's going to be horrible. But what we also see with Thomas is here's a man who is so truly, fiercely devoted to Jesus that no matter what happens to Jesus, even if it's going to be bad, well, I'm going to go be a part of it. Right? Now, of course, as time went on, what really did happen? Well, of course, Lazarus is raised from the dead. A lot of people excited about that. Of course, the officials are even more upset. Of course, things really boil up. And we go from that winter event of Hanukkah to getting into that spring season, and we have the Passover, don't we? Jesus shares the Passover with his disciples. And after the Passover, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the soldiers come from the Sanhedrin, and of course they arrest Jesus. But here at this critical moment, where's Thomas? The one who said, let's go and we'll die with him. Or how about Simon Peter? Remember, at the table, Simon Peter had said, oh, no, no, Jesus, you say we're all going to abandon you. Nope. Even if all the rest of these disciples of yours abandon you, I will never leave you. But what happens? Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, then all the disciples left him and ran away. And, of course, time passes. Jesus does indeed raise from the dead after his crucifixion, and he greets in his resurrected form the disciples. Imagine how the nine of them, as well as Simon Peter and Thomas, must have felt when Jesus appeared before them in his resurrected presence. We kind of left you, didn't we? Don't you think it would have been the time when Jesus could have put his hands on his hips and says, now, gentlemen, what about you guys? What's this all about? Where were you? No, he doesn't do that, does he? Because Jesus, in his profound grace, he knew the disciples were going to be so afraid they just had to leave. But he still comes back, and he welcomes them, and he instructs them and guides them and inspires them. And so, yes, Thomas, it's kind of like a lot of us. We want to be brave. We want to say, yes, we'll follow you to the very end. But when push comes to shove, there are those times when we fumble the ball. We step away. We don't quite make the mark like we ought to, right? But praise God that the grace of our loving God abounds. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and continuing, everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, we're all put right with him through Christ Jesus, who sets us free. Praise God. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn number 529. I am so glad Jesus lifted me. 529, all stanzas, please.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
We thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning. Again, we congratulate our graduates, and we know many of our families are actually gone today because they're out and about with other graduation events taking place around the country, actually. So we pray for safe travel for them. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we journey forward with the new week, we do give thanks for your presence with us and the privilege to be a part of your kingdom's work. Guide us this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Seeds by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his heralds, yes, I would sing. Loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.